Well, hey there, good morning or good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you're seeing this. I'm Pastor Greg coming to you from Southern Idaho, Lighthouse Church, and this is the Morning Manna podcast. And we are going through the Psalms. We are in Psalm 37, Psalm of David, and a psalm that I've personally relied upon time and time again in my life. So full of rich insight on how to navigate when life isn't fair, when people are coming against you, when things are off the rails in your life. And sometimes it just seems like wicked men prosper. And it can be exasperating and frustrating. And we wonder, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you allowing this to go on? And there's such great encouragement if you find yourself in one of those chapters in life. So we're coming towards the end. Finally, it's a long psalm, so we've been taking our time, but we're going to pick it up this morning in verse 27, where David continues instructing us now, turn away from evil and do good. Okay, so when you're being attacked or falsely accused, the tendency is going to be to want to fight fire with fire. And, you know, in those moments, we can feel like, well, I'd be justified if I, you know, took shots at them and that kind of thing. And the Lord, through David, says, don't do it. Do good. Just do good. And here's why. So shall you dwell forever. Okay, so this is what shows you to be a child of God. This is what shows that you're an actual child of Father God, is when you suffer well, is when you are reviled and you don't revile in return. That's what Jesus did, right? When he was accused and reviled, he did not revile back. He continued his posture of love and truth, and wouldn't get drawn into the muck and the mire. So stay out of the muck and the mire, Christian. Don't go there. Because you shall dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice. Okay? So he loves it. And I know that a lot of loose ends don't seem to ever get tied up in this life. It seems like people get away with stuff. I get that. But you're trusting in the God who's outside of time, who is going to settle all scores, who's going to, balance the books completely and perfectly eventually. Okay, that's guaranteed. The great white throne judgment is where Jesus Christ himself will set it all straight. And so you don't have to worry, and you don't have to take vengeance into your own hands, because vengeance belongs to the Lord. God owns vengeance. It's his prerogative. And he'll exercise vengeance when he wants, how he wants. So he will not forsake his saints. So though you may feel forsaken, you may feel, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? God has not forsaken you. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So the Lord is with you. So you would be wise to think of this as, not some random, unjust thing happening to you, but rather that the Father's eye is on you. And so honor God in the midst of it. Honor him. Do good. Don't fall for it. So the saints are preserved forever, okay? Try and wrap your mind around that, your heart around that. The saints are preserved how long? Forever. Okay, your life is forever. And so you're in a brief moment right now in your earthly body, but one day this moment, this earthly life, is going to give way to a glorious eternal life. Your earthly body is going to become a glorified body, and you're going to receive your reward from the Lord and enter into the glory of eternity, which is full of joy and excitement and wonders unimaginable. So the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. So that's who's going to inherit the land. The meek shall inherit the earth, Jesus said, right? And the meek, that's those who have yielded their life to Jesus Christ, that have taken the power of their person and of their prerogative, of their agency, and said, here, Jesus, be my Lord. Lord over me. And with Jesus as Lord, we become co-heirs with Jesus of all that there is. We are co-heirs with Christ of all the riches of God eternally. Notice, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. So the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. So, you know, there's such a strong emphasis in Scripture about the use of the mouth and our words. Our words, you know, in our mouths is life and death. And we can speak in such a way that's edifying, that builds, or we can speak in such a way that tears down. And don't think of just the extremities of that, saying something super caustic or derogatory, but the thing that's underneath, why are you saying what you're saying? Okay, you're talking to another human being, an image bearer of God. Are you trying to build them up? Is that your goal? Are you full of goodwill for them, whoever they are, even if they're not full of goodwill toward you? Because this is the essence of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, that you are full of goodwill. You want the best for that person. And so now the words that come out of your mouth are meant to build. They're meant to edify. Now, it might be a criticism. It can be a criticism, but it's not a toxic criticism. It's not a, you know, criticism that has maliciousness in it. It's a constructive criticism. Like, hey, I see that you're doing this way, but I think it would be better if you went this direction. And so I'm trying to help you, not harm you. And that's really at the core of what love is. It's goodwill towards the other person. And so that's the kind of, that's wisdom. Wisdom brings us there into living a life of love. So the law of God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. So the law of God. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee, the scripture says. And what's the law of God? Well, the law of God is summed up in two commands, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's your neighbor? Well, whoever's next to you, whoever's in your life, whoever's at work, whoever's in your school, whoever's in your home, that's your neighbor. It's whoever you come into contact with in life. Love them as you love yourself. Now that sounds almost like a pious platitude, but literally that's what God wants us to endeavor to do, which means we have to think as highly of others. Actually, we're told to think more highly of others than of ourselves. We're to consider others of higher rank. That's Philippians 2. And so the same energy and passion that we naturally love ourselves with, you know, we don't have a problem taking care of our own needs. We just kind of do it, don't we? We do what we want to do. And so we want to take what happens naturally in our affections for ourselves, and we want to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to apply that to others, to our neighbors. I want to care about that person as much as I care about myself. So what is their need? How can I help them? So then it says in verse 32, the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned whom he is when he is brought to trial. So though you may be falsely accused and you may be going through some unjust treatment in life, the Lord is with you. He absolutely is with you. And the scales will be balanced. Justice will be done eventually. And you can trust the Lord. Listen, lots of Christians have lost their very lives. They've been martyred after, you know, undergoing false accusations and slander and all the rest, and being demonized and villainized and vilified and all the rest. And they've remained faithful, knowing that the Father is pleased with them. Think of Jesus going to the cross. All of the false accusations and slander being hurled at him. Where did he find peace? Where did he find rest for his soul? Was in the opinion of the Father, resting in what God thought, and not being thrown off by what man was saying. That's the key, is you can always have the smile of the Father, Christian, always. So be encouraged. God bless you.